Hello, everyone. Welcome for tuning in tonight or today or the morning or whenever you decide to tune in. But I just want to say thank you for joining me. And you know what? Today is the 2-year anniversary of Lovecraft Country. Yes. I can't believe it's been 2 years. Can you guys? I can't believe it's been 2 years. I cannot. I just cannot. But anyway, I'm just so happy to be here. So real quick, I think I've talked about this number of times, why I started All Things Popcorn, the podcast, really, because I wanted to talk about Lovecraft Country. And to be honest, nothing on TV has tickled my fancy, like really have been really giving what it was supposed to have gave, okay? Nothing on TV, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love me Insecure, I love Rap-ish, I love P-Valley, but nothing on TV has actually measured up to nothing. I remember watching the first episode. So right now I'm going to go ahead and do a dive in, and I'm not going to do it in order or anything like that because it's been the 2-year anniversary. If you have not watched Lovecraft Country by now, then I suggest you watch it. So I'm going to be all over the place. It's really not a true breakdown of it. It's just me just paying homage to such a phenomenal show. And I'm going to talk about it, but I'm not going to be showing my face. So, let me know. All right. So, but can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Well, it looks like, So. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I feel like the, can you hear me now? Yes. Can you hear me now? Okay, good, good. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Good. Awesome. All right. Hey. All right. I'm so glad that you guys can hear me. So it looks like I might have to really like show my face here because I really, or maybe just go into avatar mode, but I really didn't want to show my face. I just wanted to, well, the entire time because I'm gonna be talking, sipping on some, some sipping on some water or whatever. All right. So anyway, let's get into it. I just want to say hello to everyone. Thank you for joining. Make sure you like and subscribe and hit that notification bell for whenever I do go live. Not very much, but I'm gonna start going live a little bit more. Okay. And I just want y'all to say, like, everybody speak to everybody in the chat. This will be all in here in love right now because we are talking about Lovecraft Country. Okay. And that's, so that's what we came here to do. All right, so let's get into it. So if you want, okay, so I'm going to drop the link if you want to come up and chime in or your love for Lovecraft Country. What was your favorite episode or your favorite moments? And that's timing right now. And we just going to just have a good, we just going to converse about it because this is all about that. Okay. So, all right. So let me go ahead and see if I could drop the link. I think that's it. Oh, no, dang it. That's my canvas. Sorry. That ain't it, y'all. That ain't it. Let me show you. Hold on. Let me All right, so go ahead. I'm about to go ahead and drop this link. All right. So for those who want to chime in, please, I'm not pressuring anybody to chime in about it, but I'm just happy to be here. What a time. So I'm just happy to be here. So yes. All right, so real quick, I'm going to take a minute. It's going to be about 15 seconds. Make sure you put the popcorns in the chat. Put the popcorns in the chat. And boom. That's when I come back, we're going to get into it. All right. Thank you. All right, so let's go ahead and get into it. I had dropped the link for those who want to come up here later on, and we're going to talk about it. But let me tell you though, this is one season, right? And there's a lot of things that's going on about the season, why there is no season two. But I think they're starting to put out like these politically correct type situations, like why this show hasn't got a second season. But it was just kind of funny how phenomenal the show was and how it got nominated for all these accolades and awards. And they didn't renew the show. Like they were greenlit because they started writing the show. And then it seemed like, to me, once the good sis Misha Green, who actually did Underground as well, got a deal with Apple. And HBO was like, oh, And then Lovecraft Country got canceled. That's what I'm talking about. See, that's what I mean. It was just like some fugazi things that was just going on that I just did not like it. But all right, so let's get into it. So let's go. The first episode, if called Sundown Town, it's so funny because this made you chime in to like, damn, sundown town. I started Googling, boom, 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 what's these towns or sundown towns? And it's still, you know what? The crazy thing about sundown town, to this day, there's still some active sundown towns. Okay? Crazy. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. Just to think about it, you know? And trust me, my black ass is not going to be anywhere that's not welcome. However, it shouldn't be a crime that I'm in these spaces, right? Should be a crime that we are in these spaces and we have to get out of town before the sun goes down. But listen, if it wasn't for Matt Ruff, right? Because when the show came out, I definitely watched the show, but I definitely had to buy the book. Okay. So Matt Ruff wrote this book, right? And it was crazy because you can watch him, he told the story about how he's a white man that wrote this book, and he was just saying how he wrote this book in hopes of it was an idea that he pitched as a TV series that actually made it to HBO, and it was phenomenal. And back in 2007, and then when it was not when it was pitched to different networks, it was failed. But then he wrote the book since he couldn't have a series of it, he wrote the book, and the book is really, really good. And the good sis Misha Green and HBO green lit it, and bam, there's the baby. It have come, okay, a perfect baby of Sundown. And the first episode, and I remember if you listen to what he's talking about, he said he wanted to write about monsters, and Lovecraft was like, H.H. Lovecraft, I believe his name was. He wrote a lot of mystical things, lost mystical creatures, but he was very racist, okay? Very, 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 very racist. Okay. But piggybacking off of that, he wanted to write a horror story that centered around black people. And what's the biggest horror? One of the biggest horrors for us is racism. So I just love how this show just tapped into that. And this was 1950s Jim Crow era. And like I just said, Sundown Town still goes on. Some bullshit. And how do you know when the sun goes down? Well, now we know by our phones telling us, or the meteorologists say, hey, the sunset's going to set it. Sun's going to set it. 7:52 today, 7:51 a day. But back then you had a telling, you see that, sun is starting to go down. Once it's dark, pew, you got to get out of Dodge. You just got to get out of there. And it's crazy because when I looked it up, I'm like, wait, Philly, y'all play too much. Philadelphia was on that list. Ain't that crazy, y'all? That's crazy. That's crazy. So, yeah. Sorry, so let's go to our characters. Atticus Freeman. Ooh, the delicious, the delicious. The ever so delicious Jonathan Majors. We had Letty, that's played by Journey Smollett. We had Courtney booked in Busy Vance, okay? Because he was booked in busy, okay? He was on everything around this time. And he still is. He's know how to get a check, okay? He's Uncle George Freeman. And Anjanue Ellis, she's Hippolyta. She's the mother. She's a wife. And we also have Michael K. William, who is Montrose Freeman. Love me some Montrose Freeman. We have Christina, we have Ruby, we have Gia, and we have William amongst all the other supporting cast that took place in Lovecraft Country, you know. So let me tell you about Jonathan Majors. Every episode, I wanted to be his Sherry. I swear, I wanted to be his Sherry. Every episode he was in, I wanted to be his Sherry. I never wanted to be an artist. never so much wanted to be an article of clothing in my life. I had to fight myself when this man wore, ooh, child, ooh, ooh. Where's my fan? Where's my Beyonce fan? Okay. Okay. Because this man was delicious all over Beyonce's internet. Okay. So Atticus, all right. So the first episode, you know, Sun Downtown, you know, Tick comes back home after he finds out that his dad has been missing, and he goes to see his family, which is Uncle George. And Uncle George is one of those individuals that would go through town to town to document where it was safe for us Black folks to be able to dine and lodge, okay? And, you know, he was a father and he was a husband. And Anjanou Ellis, which was his wife, I love Hippolyta. Hippolyta was amazing. She was an astronomer. She was a trailblazer. She was intelligent. She was loving. But, you know, Hippolyta definitely felt, you know, trapped and maybe, you know, oppressed in her marriage. You know, this is the 1950s Jim Crow era. Every time that Uncle George wanted to go out on his excursions, she wanted to go, but he would always make her stay behind and tame the store. And honestly, she was probably smarter than Uncle George. And they were a loving relationship, but she definitely was way smarter than Uncle George. So we also had, so who's missing here? We're going, so Tick comes home. He see his family, he see his little cousin, and they set out to, you know, get ready to go up to Lovecraft Country to find what is going on with his father, because his father has come up missing. And he runs into Letty. Woo, child. I love me some Journey Smollett. And Ruby. And as we talk about, as we go on in the deeper conversation, as we converse about the show and about, because this show is many things. This show is mystical. This show is strange. This show has pride. It has empathy. It has secrets. It's about legacy. It's about love being tested. It's about oppression. Did I say mystical? Because I swear I have never seen anything like Lovecraft Country. It was just amazing. So as they go on to this journey on this first, and then this is how we get introduced to everybody, and they go up to Lovecraft Country, and on their way, you know, to H.B. Lovecraft Country, they stop at this restaurant. And in the book that they had, it was a place that Black folks could dine in, you know, could dine. So dine, but it was crazy because you learn a little bit about a lot of things in every episode that's historic that I've never known. Like, I've never knew that the White House was specifically painted Black, because in this episode of Sundown Town, they were all dining and they was wondering why, you know, they were looking at them, because even though they were white, the White folks was looking at them. According to Uncle George's book, that was a place where Black folks could dine. But apparently, somewhere along the lines, that place was taken by the color folks and caught on fire. And that was one of the things. When Letty went to the ladies' room to go to the bathroom, she overheard one of the waiters talking and was like, and talking, saying they hear him, and blah, blah, blah. And she knew, you know, like her spirit guides was tingling, okay? And as she was talking, as she was, you know, putting two to two together, Tick looking around was like, looking at the walls, the brick walls was all painted white. He was like, so tell me again, Uncle George, why the White House was painted? He was like, because when it was set on fire, they painted the brick white. Woo! I did not know that. I didn't know that they dyed the, you know, the ash and the fires, you know, the staining from the fire, that that's why they technically painted the White House white. And when Letty got out of there, that scene, when she was like, get the fuck out of my, that's typical to this day, because when you see one black person start running one way, all the black person knows something, whatever way you coming from, you need to get out of Dodge. And this is clearly what was going on here. That part, Journey, I'm going to go ahead and say Letty. I'm not even going to call them by their real names. I'm going to go by their character names. And I swear she slayed it with her white sunglasses, her white shoe, her white top, with her little, you know, Zazy Zooks, blue, and with her little white open toe, you know, little hilly heels, okay? She was looking too a cutie cute. Okay. So that was one of the things, that was one of the standout things in that episode. On top of how the episode opened, Sundance Town opened of him, like, this mystical, like, him, like, you see aliens in tentacles of a, and him at war. And then you see this Asian woman, and then, you know, it was like all of these things. And I'm like, what the hell was going on? But all of them were like Easter eggs of everything that was going, you know, that was about to just to go down on the show. And it was crazy. And the crazy thing was, when they went to Sunday, when they ran out of there, they knew that they were on their way to Lovecraft Country, and they ran into, oh God, they was at a Sundown Town, and boom, what comes out of the goddamn, you know, they come out of Sundown Town, they have this, they get stopped by the popo, you know, get stopped by 12. And it was crazy because when they got stopped by 12, we knew nothing always going to happen around this time. This Jim Crow era, Sundown Town. And they told them they had until whatever time to get out of Dodge. And they was going to follow them. And lo and behold, they kind of didn't get, they almost got out of town in time. But of course, you know, they, you know, 12, you know, a 12 during that time had to fuck with them. And bam, and that had me on my edge. Like, did that part give you on, had you on my edge? I really feel like that part, one of that part, with them trying to drive out of town before the sundown came, it made me do the PP dance. Now, everybody know the PP dance, when you be rocking back and forth, or you trying to hold it, whatever like that. I was really on my edge because me, the Game of Thrones have taught me anything that is anybody's game. Anybody can get it. And so that's why I was like, oh my gosh, who's going to die? Who is going to make it? Like, what is going on? And bam. Woo, child. They get out of there. But somehow they don't get too close. And then those monster things, them things that had those monkey pox on, child, woo! It was crazy. Wasn't that episode? That episode was like story, sexy, crazy, on edge. Rawr. I mean, it was all the above. And you know, that episode gave me four popcorns. You know me, like 4 out of 4 popcorns, okay? Because let me tell you specifically why. Number one, because everybody delivered in their own way. The actors, the story, the fashion, everything. And it had me something to look up to. And then they had the monsters, the sci-fi, the drama. And you saw the little love, you know, the little between, you know, Letty and Tick. You saw, you know, I mean, you saw a little sparky spark, okay? In the midst of all of that, too. But let me tell you, I was, when when they actually got to, when they actually got to the, I just want to say thanks everybody for tuning in, everybody for joining me tonight. Okay, yes, yes, yes. On this 2-year anniversary of Lovecraft Country, okay, by the girl Misha Green. It was written by Matt Ruff on HBO, even though HBO has did us dirty. Did us dirty, y'all. Dirty. All right, because it's another episode of Blastics. Okay, all right, another episode of Blastics. But listen, when those monsters killed those racist, you know, killed racist 12, and you know what I mean, that was redemption for me. It's being redemption for me. I don't think the show is going to be taken over by Apple. I haven't seen anything by Apple. I know the good sis have penned a deal with Apple, but I don't know, because this may be owned by HBO, so I don't know. I didn't even get in the digs and the dags or everything like that, but it may be owned by HBO, so that's probably why we won't get another season of Lovecraft Country. And like I said, they try to be PC, and probably there's a lot of things that was thrown out after, saying that it was too expensive, but it was really green screen majority of the time. The only thing that they were given is that every Black person on here even was given, you know what I mean? I can't say everybody Black person, because, you know, Abby Lee that played Christina, she was given to. And the one that played Jaha, she, the Korean woman, that everybody gave what it was supposed to be half given, okay? And then some, okay? They really did. They worked overtime, okay? They really did. They really did bonus work on there. Okay. So back to, so as we, as those three, as we, you know, we have seen these episodes. So there's no need for me to do a breakdown, because we have seen the series. The series is 2 years old, but I'm going to move on to Whitey on the Moon. And we all know about Whitey on the Moon. Whitey on the Moon was a song done by Gil Scott-Heron. And it was like on a stiff of racism and things like that. So now that they honestly made it to the Lovecraft Country in the mansion, this was and it was crazy, because Titus, so they made it to the mansion of Titus Brithwaite, right? And we all know that William, as we all know later on, is also Christina. William with his fine ass, okay? But also was Christina. This thing had cult capabilities. It had all these things going on. Listen, you did have to watch them, because you didn't know what the hell was, because the first five minutes of it was like I said, came out with a boom, like bam, you see them, he's in the war, and then you see this Asian woman, and then you see these tentacles, and then you see spaceships and alien laser beams. It's like, wait a minute, where is this going? But I like it. But I like it, baby. Okay, I was like, yes, this is this. It was given. I was ready for it. And plus, anyway, everything that was going on in 2020, I was ready for an escape, and that was the perfect escape. And I agree. So, Deb, the first episode I had to watch. The first episode, I think I watched probably five times too. I think I watched it twice that night, and it was a feeling that I haven't felt in so long when it came to me loving the show. Okay, and then I watched it every day after that, so I'd be able to process what I watched. And then I said, you know what? I want to talk about this. I need someone to talk to about, or I'll talk to myself. And that's what made me, again, for the 111th time, why I started All Things Poppin', because I want to talk about things that I love, you know? Yeah. But why they on the moon, when they were here, I'm welcome anybody that wants to come up here and talk about it, you know, with me. So we had Whitey on the moon. We had the Holy Ghost when she was episode of Holy Ghost, when she told those folks, get the fuck out of her house. We had a history of violence when we actually got to see Tick and his father. You know, when they start doing the pages, when they finally got Titus Birthright on the pages of the book, in the Book of Names, in the museum when they was in Boston, and they started when they started talking about the Arawak, the two-spirited name Yahamia. It was a two-spirited type of individual. So it was like man and woman. It was great. It was great. And it was given first of all, that right there. Rewind 1921, that episode right there. Hello, you can come up and go ahead and want to talk Lovecraft Country with me. Yes. So that was Rewind 1921. That where you see the origin story of how things come to be. We see how Montrose was going to go meet his Boothang, and his Boothang got killed. We saw how he put a rose on his head and his father beat him. And when I say this all about, it's about family legacy, you know, it was so sad because not only was Montrose trying to live out who he thought that Tick needed to be, but not knowing that he was passing down family trauma, and them going back to 1921, him being able to see the trauma that his father went through and how complex Montrose was, that really like touched my soul, because this is 1921. He could not truly live in his truth, and he did love his son, but he did not love the way his father loved him. But like I said, the generational curse that was passed down to him. And I was glad that not everybody can get to take a look back and see the origin of, you know, childhood trauma that get passed on by generations. And that's exactly what happened with Montrose and his father and how Montrose treated Tick. Just like the complexity between Ruby and Letty. You know, everybody is perception. You know, we see, you know, Ruby stayed home and held it down while Letty and Ruby Mon escaped and lived free and lived her best life. But lo and behold, Letty went through some things while she weren't while she wasn't in Chicago. You know, small backstory, like she was arrested, you know, like she did things. And Ruby only see what, you know, like you left. I had to hold down, I had to hold mama down. I had to be the responsible one. I had to be, you know, I had to be responsible. So their perceptions were, and they, and you could tell like they didn't have the same, they didn't have the same last name. And they didn't, and they only had, you know, they shared the same mother. But it didn't seem like Letty and Ruby love for their mother, one was greater than the other. It was just they're both live, they took different paths. And it was hard for Ruby to see that because she had her own traumas. You know, she is the darker of the two. This is Jim Crow era. Letty had other liberties that Ruby could not get away with. And we can see how that time level, because with the strange episode 4 or 5, when it was Strange Case, when she got a taste of what it's like to be a white woman. Whew. The complexity between the show is so well written because not only do they show the complexity in perspectives, because you can, because they both could be right and neither one of them could really or really was wrong. It was just perspectives of, you know, Letty and Ruby, Tick Montrose, and our girl Hippolyta and her husband George. In the dynamics of Hippolyta and George, we see how they were both loving couple, supportive of what they were supportive of 1950 as a husband could be. But Hippolyta was so much more, but couldn't be because her husband was like, "No, you stay home. You tend to the things. You tend to be a mother. You tend to the shop. You do what I come back." Like her light was so dimmed, and she loved her husband, but you have to sit back and on her episode, "I Am," really brought tears to my eyes. It really brought tears to my eyes because she was. She was able to discover so many things at this time. She was able to go and go to France and dance. She wanted to dance. So she danced with Dorothy Dangerous. Was that Dorothy Dangerous? Or who was it that she wanted to go dance with? But that's what she did. She wanted to dance. And she wanted to be, did she wanted to be, you know, strong. So she was like an Amazon woman, kicking ass, okay? And if you look at it, everything had a scope to it because in it, you can see that. You can see that in there that she was fighting the Confederates. They had the like Confederate on while the Amazon woman had like they was geared up to the nines and everything like that, like gladiators. And she actually was like cracking the code and being like the motherboard of the other side. To the sci-fi aspect of it. And as she was living out all of those dreams, all of those truths, all of those things fully, it took so much out of her that it turned her hair blue. I noticed, like, turning her hair blue instead of gray. I'm glad that they gave her blue. It didn't make her old, but I think it gave her make more aware. And the beauty of that, it was that when she went through all of those things, Hippolyta, once she chose to go, when it was time for her to go back home, it was because it was her choice, because that's where she wanted to be. She wanted to go home and mother her child and be present and live it out. But prior to that, that was not her life. She could not live out because she was oppressed. So her getting sucked into that board was Josephine Baker. Yes, that's what it was. I said Dancy Dorgers, I think. I think I said Dorgers, but no. She becomes, like, she befriends Josephine Baker, be dancing, living, you know, living the life in Paris. And then, you know, like, she be an Amazon while she defeats the Confederate foot. And then she, and once she did all those things in a mystical way, she talks to her husband, who is now, like, you know, deceased Uncle George. Unfortunately, she was able, like I said, to take her true self and say, you know what, I have done. I knew I would discover it just like you. I know I could do these things, but now I can go back and just be. I'm fulfilled now. But it didn't go without her hair turning blue, which I think was amazing. Which is amazing. We got that Jigaboo. Oh my gosh, it's so Topsy and Bopsy. And it was crazy because, you know, they did, this is the 1950s in South Chicago. They did touch on the early episodes, Holy Ghost, when Bobo, I believe his name was Bobo, actually is Emmett Till, asked, you know, like, am I going to have fun? And, you know, when he goes down south, and it's when it was on the Ouija board, it said no. And the episode of Jigaboo is them actually, you know, Diana, who was friends with Bobo, they had his funeral. So it was a lot of things, you know, Black Wall Street, Emmett Till, some very Sundown Town, some very, very hard, very hard subject matters. But I was here for it, okay? I was here for it. And it's so crazy because when Topsy and Bopsy came, I remember my daughter was like, Mom, let's be Topsy and Bopsy. I ain't being them. I got here for Halloween. Who wants to be Topsy and Bopsy? I'll be Hippolyta or Letty. Before I be Topsy and Popsy. Yo, but it was crazy because it was even not only the sci-fi of it all that we're talking about is, I mean, like, the complexity of love, because Ja'a and Tick did love each other, and unfortunately, she was cursed. Oh my gosh, it's about curses too, okay? Generational curses, breaking a curse, you is a curse, they going to curse. It's just, how about when you know, she was cursed. You know, her mother had summoned a nine-tailed fox double, and she had to kill 100 men in order for her to be human again. And again, this is about, you know, family and hurt and, you know, like her mother, you know, in these times, you know, in Korea, You had to be, married, and her mother was married, and in order for her to be honored to her name, she had to get married, and her stepfather was, was very was inappropriate, was the worst inappropriate way with her that you could possibly be. And with her mother had, when her mother found out, she's shamaned this nine-tailed fox to possess her daughter, to unalive him. But now she have to kill 100 men to be human again. And it was crazy because even though she Jahai was actually half human, half nine-tailed fox demon man eater. I mean, like, she did have a connection. She was a nurse, and she became and this was all during like the Korean War, whatever, the Korean War. And her first interaction with Tick was, Tick had they were lining up the females, and he had an order to shoot one of them. And one of the connections of one of the nurses that was her friend, oh my gosh, he killed her. And then she like vile then she like was like, you know what, I'm gonna get close to him, I'm gonna get to know him, and then I'm gonna kill him. But in the midst of all of that, the human side of her fell in love with Tick, and Tick fell in love with her, and he was her first. And when they became intimate, a part of her killing the 100 men, that nine-tailed fox comes out. But to kill the men, and was going to kill, but she was able to see his life, and she saw that when he would go back to Lovecraft Country, he was going to die. Some bullshit. And she didn't kill, and she stopped herself from killing him. Because she was already going to be he was already going to die, but she loved it. The human part of her loved him. So, I mean, he was shirtless, y'all. Jonathan Majors is truly, truly. All right, I'm not going to say the names, but Tick Boy, like I said, Ooh, child. When I hang down, listen. Tick without his shirt on. Without his shirt on is. She was able to cause she was able to control herself from that demon from doing that to Tick. But Tick was like, what the hell is going on? Because at this point he already loved him. That's what made him get out of there too. Like, he was like, pew. And then it was like he knew that it wasn't right, but then he knew that it was something else. It was crazy. It was really crazy. And it was crazy how he just couldn't. I mean, I had to do it. I had to do it for the, I had to do it for him. Like, I had to. That's for Tick in his shirts, okay? In his shirts and stuff. Another thing. Anjanue Ellis, who is, she plays, like, she definitely deserved all the accolades that she's supposed to be given. You know what? And I just want to give her flowers because I was like, her being Hippolyta on episode 7, I Am, when she was with Josephine Baker, when she was exploring, when she was the Afro robot. Okay, she was the Afro robot. Okay, the Afro robot lady. And, you know, her being a motherboard, being able to listen, and then playing Venus and Serena mom. Listen, the good sis. Those pants, though. The pants. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, ideal. It's like when I see Tick walk, I'm just imagining him walking towards me, playing Plastic off the Sofa. Okay? That's what I'm doing. Watching, like, Plastic off the Sofa just coming into an air. You know? What about the scene that I do want to talk about is not even the scene, but just the notion of how Ruby wanted to live her life as a white woman. And at what price that she had to pay to live herself, live like that. Like the price she had to pay to live herself like a white woman at who expense. And why do you think, was it the rush, the addiction of it all because of the magic, or is because or did you think that she didn't like whom she, the sister of the darker hue with the curvy curves? I mean, it's so much to dissect with Ruby, because nobody in here was one-dimensional. Nobody was one-dimensional in this, but I do kind of say that Montrose probably was the most complex character. What do you think? I think that
Red label joined.
So I think it is. Okay. So we got someone that's coming up and join us. Make sure you are in avatar mode, please. And thank you. Period. All right, Red Label.
Oh, hold on. Let me grab my headphones. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
What the hell? Hold on. Can you hear me?
Yes.
What the hell is going on over here?
I can hear you. You can't hear me?
I can't hear a thing. It might be me. Let me leave and come back.
Okay. First of all, she wasn't. She was not a very attractive, woman when she became the other side. Yeah, when she became the other side. But let me tell you something about Christina, right? So it's so funny because I'm not even going to skip over the girl Christina, even though, you know, we all know, like, she's a witch or whatever, or things like that. And they had the cult and their bloodline and the lineage too. But one thing I can say, even though she was set out, she was very determined. She was focused, and, you know, she was rebelling against her father, because one thing I can say about Christina, even though she was white, she was still oppressed because she was a woman. So whatever it was, they weren't going to give her her accolades, her flowers, just because of that. And she was set out to show them, like, look, I'm going to get these pages. I'm going to get these books. I'm going to have our legacy. And this is what's going to happen. And she was very determined. She was very, very, very determined on that one. And I love to hate her. And you know what? I knew she was William before she turned into William. I didn't know she was William right away, but I knew she was William because I was like, wait, I don't never see them together. And I remember I had this conversation amongst my podcast group, and while we were talking about it, and I was saying, you know what, I really do think that Christina is William. I think she morphed once the moment I saw that she can turn, when she turned Ruby into the white woman, that sealed the deal with me. It sealed the deal with me about her being William. But I wasn't, I was like 85%. I'm gonna keep it 100. I wasn't 100% sure. But that was a great twist, though, to put that on there. It was a great twist. It was many, many great twists. Because let me tell you, how about the episode of A History of Violence? That shit was like The Goonies. And Raiders of the Lost Ark. That was like The Goonies, Raiders of the Lost Ark. It was like, are we there yet? It was all that mixed in one. Yeah. So I'm glad that you chimed in and said that it was more freedom to be a white woman than a dark-skinned woman. Yes, indeed it was. But what I was talking about specifically, because that is wholeheartedly, that is, okay, that is facts, okay? That's constitutional. But what I was talking about under the eyes of her and her circle, her, Christina, and those whom that she's around, she knew she had to do whatever it took. And that's how she used Montrose and Tick in them to get what she needed to get so she can get that book. And she knows she needed them. They were the only way that she can get that book. That she would have some type of notoriety under the eyes of her, the men in her life. Yes. So, you guys, I need to go and, wet my whistle. But if you want to come on up and join me, because this is the 2-year anniversary of Lovecraft Country. We're talking about all things Lovecraft Country. It don't even have to be in that order. You can tell me about Full Circle when the end, because, I did not like how it was destined for Tick to die. But he had to die like that. Okay? He did not. They could have rearranged some shit. Okay? All right. So when I come back, we're going to join up. Hopefully Red Label will get his audio together and he can join me. And whoever wants to come up and join me while I go and wet my whistle. I'll be right back, y'all. Okay, I wasn't going that long because I'm one of one. I'm number one, the only one. No. Ruby was sleeping with the blonde hair, blue eyed man. She really thought William was really liking to her, but it was all just to get close to Letty. And Letty was the way to get close to Tick. Okay. Okay. So shout out to Soul Debonair. Shout out to Levon's Library. And I want to give a to everybody that's in the chat right here. Thank you for being here. Y'all could have been anywhere else, but y'all decided to be here listening to me talking about Lovecraft Country. It's been 2 years. Wait a minute, let me see what it is. I ain't like that. But listen, I want to thank everybody up here. Period. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Andrea Nelson. Thank you. You're the one. Okay. All right, so it looks like so again. All right, so let's talk about really quickly, bring back up the relationship between Letty and Ruby. What are your thoughts on their complexity of their relationship? Like I said, they're definitely, I don't see anybody was wrong. I just see it was all perspectives. I feel like one, I think Ruby felt like Letty was really like living the life, living the life while she stayed behind and took care of their mother, where it doesn't seem like, you know, Letty really, really had it smooth. It looked like she got caught up in some things.
Red
and
label joined.
Ran away a few. Yeah. All right, so here we go. You are muted, sir. All right, there you go. I don't know what it is. I don't know. Red label. See, these motherfuckers ain't stopping me. These motherfuckers ain't stopping. Listen, I'm dead ass. I can't hear you, so red label, dead ass. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Dead ass. So as red label, no, he's not muted, lovely love. Maybe come off of a maybe come off of Avatar. I don't know what's going on with Red Label, but hey, these motherfuckers ain't stopping me, dead ass. Right, exactly. So I don't know what's going on, but I got out of just in case he want to come up here. It might be a Bluetooth issue, just like you said. So maybe he have to just show his face. I don't know. What do you guys think? Yes. Yes. Yeah, he might have to use the computer mic. So anyway, so yeah. So as Q. Get Q, what's going on with you? They all gonna laugh at you. That's right. Dead ass. So all right. So I think after I close up this segment of Lovecraft Country, I probably is going to segue into the good sis of Beyonce. Okay. But anyway, in the meantime, I'm gonna stay on, show my face for a little bit longer. Hopefully this will help Q come back up, or anybody else that wanna come back up. Maybe the settings won't be so off or whatever like that. But listen, let me show you. Let me tell you, Jonathan Atticus lips are so juicy. Now, it was funny because I saw him in the Five Bloods, and I was like, couple weeks earlier. Then I seen him on Lovecraft Country, and I was like, hold up, wait a minute. And then he walked in the block party. Remember the block party? And then he walked, and he had that shirt on. That's what I said. But as he was walking, as he was... should I do episode by episode again? So it seemed like, you know, like... So the consensus, like... So, Deb, you know, I'm so all over because I'm so excited because of the 2-year anniversary of it. And I know we're not getting any more. But I did start talking about Sundown Town. And I felt like I was, like, repeating myself or whatever. But, and then we did Whitey on the Moon. And then I talked slowly about Holy Ghost because I felt like, again, we did Holy Ghost, but with Holy Ghost, I think that's where I was slowly tapping in on the dynamics of Ruby and Letty's relationship, you know, how it's broken, but I feel like it's because they don't see each other. Like I said, it's different perspectives. But I felt like Letty was trying to say sorry when she brought that house, the house of fucking horrors, the Holy Ghost house, when she told those ghosts to get the fuck out of her house. And it was like the ghosts of all the people that, another thing that I'm just talking about, like how it tapped into how medicine, how... You know, how white medicine was, like, using black people as guinea pigs. Well, we all know the origin of gynecology, but we're not even going to go into that deep. But still, that scene where she told when Letty was like, get the fuck out of my house. She was not playing with the spirits, okay? She told those spirits, I don't know where you got to go, but you got to get the fuck out of here. Okay? Okay. But it was like a method, you know, just like I said, it was like Christina getting her way of trying to navigate her way to the Freemans, because the Freemans were key. That damn book. And all that, these adventures all still came up boiling to one, you know, still... Yeah, you know, still, it was, and it's so crazy. Yeah, that Holy Ghost one, yeah, that was, everyone was deep. Just like you said, it should be a breakdown for episode by episode. So maybe I'll do a 10-week thing and do, we're going to break down Sundown Town. We're going to talk about Sundown Towns. And then we're going to go into Why Do You Want the Moon? We're going to go about the play, Why Do You Want the Moon? And then we're going to go into the, so it was so crazy because when they did Why Do You Want the Moon? We're going to, look at me shifting. When they did Why Do You Want the Moon? It was crazy. When we did Whitey on the Moon, don't forget it comes on, like they are at the they're at the mansion, you know, William like come on into the mansion, and then everybody is pretty much being, I don't know, like duped or whatever of their desires. So you, it comes on where they're moving on up. And Letty's thing was, you know, fashion and, you know, like clothes and, you know, silks and fabrics and everything like that. So she was, the girl was, you know, she was eating all those outfits. And then Uncle George, he loved reading. So he had like an endless round of books and books. And Tick, on the other hand, you know what I mean? He was over there having nightmares, okay? They were having dreams. He was having nightmares, okay? It was like a Meek Mill thing going on Whitey on the Moon, okay? And then those damn monsters. And then the slave woman with the baby. And then the monsters ain't really fuck with them, fuck with other people. And then Christina was like, ooh, betting the monsters. Listen, let me tell you. All right, so I'm going to go ahead. If people are going to have some things to say, I am going to put them up on here and I'm going to read them. All right, so we're going to start with what I'm going to see right here. Is he said, I don't know what the fuck is going on. I don't know either, sir. I don't know. Maybe it's your Wi-Fi. It's not my Wi-Fi. It's fine. All right, Brownie Brown, let me tell you something. Brownie Brown, make sure you like and subscribe. And make sure you do. Support the good sis. All right. So the book, like I said, I have bought the book. I have read the book, right? Lovecraft Country. But it was written by a guy named Matt Ruff. And he said about he wanted to do a scary movie, a scary series. And nothing could be scarier than, you know, Jim Crow era for white, for black people and how they, you know, how they navigate through those things. That is a scary movie. But again, this show, how Misha Green have wrote the screenplay and wrote these episodes, was just beautiful. Like I said, it had a heart and soul. It was galactic. It was magic. It was love. It was trauma. It was history. It was mystical. You know what I'm saying? So definitely go and watch it again now. And then come back next week with me. And we will, you know, dive into episode one for 50 minutes. And I'll let everybody come in here and chime in. Yes. All right. So let me see here. All right. Thank you for coming here to Real Estate Insider. Right. So let me tell you. So when Journey cleared that basement with that white man, I fell out. Like she did. She said, listen, it took every fiber of it. It took her heart and soul to get them out of there. But she had to do what she had to do, and she told them to get the fuck out of her house, and she did. And that right there, that alone should have got her an Emmy, okay? Could the good sis play that? All right. Me too. I love this show so much, okay? And like I said, nothing really, you know, really, you know, had my feathers and really had nothing on this Beyonce's internet have touched me like this show yet. Nothing. Good. I welcome you here. I want you here. She did that. Journey did that. Journey did that. Absolutely. She did that. And I just was on. So this show is available on HBO Max. Again, it started August 16, 2020, Lovecraft Country. One thing I can say, though, you cannot be Atticus shirt. I am his shirt, okay? I am his shirt, okay? I'm his shirt. So, yeah. So, I just want to thank you for just blessing, saying hello to everyone. Hello. All right. Yes. So, the complexity of... I just want to say, just want to acknowledge some people. Thank you so much for being here. Yep. Make sure that you, that's what you need to do when you come here. That's how I know that you can hear me, that you're engaged with me. So I just want to say thank you for that. So, that ass. So, yeah. So, another thing, even though no one had really kind of touched on about Letty and Ruby's relationship, you know, it goes to show you that, like, not everybody is, like, one way. People have layers. People are multifaceted. People have perspectives and experiences. And one thing I can say, I do, for a fact, like, you have to really... In order for Christina or you to be whomever that you're going to be, that you turn into, you have to drink that blood potion. You do, that person has to die. Like, she keeps them, like, in a state of comatose. And when I saw that Christina became Ruby, that kind of broke my heart. And I felt like, if Ruby could have just got away, if that itch of seeing what the other side, because she was able to get things that she knew that she could never be. She knew that she wanted to work at that counter, that cosmetic counter, but they already had one colored, as they will call us. And they only had one, so they only can have one. So she knew that that job was out of her scope. And it was just sad. I mean, like, she got so caught up that she drank the Kool-Aid. And the Kool-Aid eventually was poison. Dead ass. You know what I'm saying? And when I had talked to Beyonce about it, so it was definitely poison. So... I just think that I really do think that everybody, just like the love hate relationship, I feel like Tick was in love with Ja'a, but I feel like Ja'a was more really in love with Atticus. But his heart really was with Letty. And then when they, you know, when they got busy in the bathroom, you know, that was her first time. Remember that guy lied on his penis that he got busy with her? She was like, remember that time we was together in this? That was the first time. Yes. And she was carrying Tick's baby. She was carrying his seed. Yo. So I'm going to go rewind it. The episode about Hippolyta becoming a god, experience different life. I say she became a god. Yes, she became a discoverer. She was like the motherboard. She discovered who she was. She discovered things that she wanted to discover. And instead of her feeling oppressed, because she could have stayed in that world, she could have stayed there. But at that point, she did everything that she pretty much wanted to do. And it was her choice to go back to being a mother. And Zion needed her, though. Because the girl arm was, Topsy and Bopsy and all that stuff. You know, her arm, her arm got, got rotted. So, but that's what, that discovery that when she was an Amazon woman, killing off those damn Confederate. My computer is about to die. Hold on, you guys. When she was fighting the Confederates, that was top tier. Dead ass. Yes. And she was with Josephine Baker, just living her best life, living freely, and see how in France, and just like I was want to dance, so she danced, and then at the end, then she was like, "I am Hippolyta," like, and then she came back and she was blue. Okay, that was a powerful episode. Let me tell you how. And then not only did she say she was Hippolyta when she had that conversation with her dead husband about how she know that he loved her, but he was oppressing her. He was dimming her light. And I love me some Uncle George, but she just was like, look, I should have been on those roads with you too. Holding and making me come back and, and count these pennies and giving out penny candy to the store. Hippolyta was an astrologer. She was very smart and full of life and an empath too, because she knew something wasn't right when her husband didn't come back. She knew that she wasn't getting the full story of it all. It's a powerful episode. Just like the power, that's like, that was a great episode. Just like the History of Violence episode, when they did the two-spirited person, when it was like man and woman, and that kind of like tapped into like, and it was like the Goonies and Raiders of the Lost Ark all in togetherness, So, okay. Let me tell you, he said she came back as Xenia Warrior Princess. It was fierce, and I was here for it. But let me tell you, she was better than Xena Warrior Princess, because she had to do that la 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 la. She had to do that dumb shit that Xena did. That was Hippolyta. And it was so crazy because she was like, my name is Hippolyta. And I said, what kind of name? She said, it's Greek. Okay? Don't come from the good sis. I love that she had to check him. She had to sound check one, microphone check on one too. Okay. Shoot. That's the girl. So there was no episode that I did not love. Another part when how about when Letty walked through the fire to the limit to the... When she walked through the fire holding that book. Let me tell you. That was powerful too. It was powerful when Tick died. I don't know what to say. Like, when Tick died, I was like, I love how the robot let her know she's free. She has to be free in her own mind. The robot wouldn't let her go move on to anywhere else other than she had to find who she was. And she had to decide. She would not let her, She would not let her. She let her explore until she couldn't explore no more. After the, when she didn't want to explore anymore and be a discoverer anymore, I believe that's when she was able to be who she was on her own terms. Because she was, long as she was feeling oppressed, long as she wanted to dance and couldn't dance, she had to go dance. Long as she didn't want to fight for the opposite, the opposition, they made her go fight. Let me tell you, that episode was top tier. And I think I do have it on my socials. Let me see. Let me see. Let me find my, what do you mean? Okay. Let me see. So, is another thing. She said, name yourself. And she like, what are you talking about? Where do you want to be? Name it. And she said, I want to be, and then she yelled out, I want to be, she said, I want to be dancing on a stage with Josephine Baker. That's what she did. Joe, that part. That part. But you know, they had to band together to make it work. And when y'all get a chance, make sure y'all watch that episode. Make sure that you tap in. Make sure that you give them. All right. Let me see. I'm sorry. This is not working. My thing is not working. There we go. All right. I just think about all the Black women I know who are free. It brought tears to my eyes. Yes. Yes. Angenue Lewis, I mean, she, I keep using the word top tier, but she is top tier. Like, she's top tier. She's a top tier actress. Yes, we do. Okay. What she did, baby, Hippolyta was free. She was. Indeed, we do. Indeed, we do. Yes. So, you know what? Full circle, it looked like, you know, it was great that they all had to band together. They even had to use the nine-legged fox demon. Because, you know, Jahashi loves Tick. Tick love. That was his destiny to die. How about rewind to 1921 again? Okay, I know I brought this up earlier today. But rewind to 1921 episode when we see the origin, how, you know, I think they was about to go on prom, and how, you know, the father, he put, and how he had to, how during the massacre, Montrose had to see his boo thing get killed like that. The Montrose stepping up to raise, because it was crazy. Because you know how people was trying to say, like, was Tick really George's son? Because I think, wasn't George dating? Tick's mom, or he stepped up to me. It was just like, I need to go back and revisit that. So when it's time for us to see Rewind 9 in the full circle episodes, when we get into that, then I will probably circle back and do that. But in the meantime, though, you guys, it's been 2 years. If you have not watched the series, make sure you watch it so you can chime in and talk about it to me episode by episode. And then make sure you watch it again. Make sure you follow the good sis, Misha Green, because she needs all the support that she possibly can. I mean, because obviously she gave us great content, because Underworld. I'm doing Westworld and Underground together, okay? She did Underground, and Underground was a phenomenal show. It was a phenomenal show on so many levels, and that got canceled after the second season, but then she was able to get this deal with HBO and do Lovecraft Country, so that's why she was able to get the good sis Journey Smollett and bring her over here. So, but hopefully we'll get more work from Misha Green. I just want to thank you. I've been here on 90 Minutes, and I've talked to you guys, and I just want to say thank you for this episode of Blastics, because this is a Black classic film, because it was written and showrunner. The show was written in predominantly black space about Black issues during the Jim Crow eras. And even though the book was actually written by Matt Ruff, it was directed and the screenplay and show running was by Misha Green. And that right there makes me call it a classic. This series was definitely top tier. I don't have anything negative to say about it. There's nothing like it on TV right now. Everyone on the screen, whether it's from Atticus to Christina and William, all had a story. Were very developed. And even Diane, the daughter, like I said, everyone in between. It was visually beautiful. Everyone on here was beautiful. And we're going to say may he rest in power to Michael K. Williams, who played Montrose. And I loved it. It was everything that I never thought that I needed in the show. And while to this day, this show was just amazing. And I would love, and I thank you for so debonair, for just go ahead and encouraging that for me to talk about it again. And I'm going to go ahead and just do episode by episode every week and do it all over again, because I love it. And I encourage you guys to watch it with me. Come on, chime in with me. Tell me your perspective and how your breakdown of it. And so I'm really not
joined.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Great. I can hear you too. Great. So I just want to talk about that episode really quick, because for me, because I grew up around Black women, episode meant a lot to me.
Which episode? Are you talking about episode?
Hippolyta.
I am? Oh, with Hippolyta? Yes. Yeah. Okay.
You know, and I put it in the chat. It was like, even with the women that I work with right now, the way they educate these children, the way that they nurture them, the way that they just, like, they are on it. Like, they know, they can identify the little bit of things that are going on with the kids. Like, they own it, you know what I mean? So I appreciate that so much, because, you know, growing up, I didn't get that in my school system. Right. But watching that and seeing the power that Hippolyta realized that she had, because I remember they kept saying, like, you're something about her not being, you might remember, they were saying something about she wasn't trapped there or something like that. What was it?
What you mean, when she was trapped there?
Remember when she had she went to the future or something like that?
They oh, put right.
her in that room, and then she kept saying she wanted to leave, but they were like, "You can leave."
Right, but she didn't know where she wanted to be or who she was.
Yeah, and so when I watched that, like to me, it was like
yes.
I can't think of the word I want to use for what it meant to me to watch
this. Because as a black you know, woman. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You know what? Because she sacrificed all her abilities. All her abilities were like, you know, pushed to the side so she could support Uncle George. Right. And she always wanted to go and explore with him. And he was like, no, not this. No, you can't go this time. You stay back. You stay behind. But she was an astrologer. She knew the stars and all that stuff. So she was been perfect to be his helpmate on the road and everything like that.
Right.
He didn't want to stay behind. That's why she was like, I'm not staying behind this time. She wanted to go up here to love you. She wanted to see what's going on, what happened to her husband.
And she remember, she had to put the machine bay together and everything.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like everything that she did, like it was like on point. It was like, yo, she's on it. And like when I watched the episode, I'm like, if for the black woman that I do know, to me, this was like a staple for me. It was almost like understanding what black women really mean in real life for a lot of us, because, and I did relate it back to, you know, my job today. It's like, you know, our teachers that we have right now, like they are literally, they're pouring into these children every day. Mm-hmm. Even if they don't have it, they will text us in a group like, you know, it's funny because we're like, you know, I was just going to the teacher's lounge. But going to the teacher's lounge as an adult is different as a kid.
Right.
But knowing how these women really, like, because, you know, I'm a second grade teacher. I'm the only man.
Okay.
But to see how these women come together every day, mm-hmm. and they're ready for y'all's children or anybody else's children, mm-hmm. and they put them together, they know your everything that could or could not happen with you. Like, they're on it. And so to... The Hippolyta thing was like to the utmost power, because it's like, I love the fact that it was like she could do anything, and she got experience to do anything through all those life troubles that she did.
Yeah, and
it meant a lot to me to watch it.
And unfortunately, she had to go through all that after her husband dies.
Yeah,
it took Uncle George dying for her to really discover. And be the discoverer that she wanted to be, and then made the choice to go back home to be a mother and a widow. Like, that was her choice.
But I wouldn't even say
when you were talking about how the schools, how they're pouring into these children now, because these, you know, because they care, and it's not just about less school. Like, they're, you know, they empaths, you know, and they're nurturing,
right.
And they're, you know, is they really do care about the education and the well-being and the mental health of these kids, which is a beautiful thing. And I like that you are witnessing that. And that's one of, you know, a lot of parents and guardians thing that, you know, those that really care about their children going to school and their education, they're sending them there so they can get a good education. And the same thing that they allow in their space for their children to grow and to develop too. Because, you know, school is not a, you know, it's not a daycare. It's a place where they develop and grow. And I'm glad.
But I want to relate it back to the show, though, for real.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because what I saw on the show was, you know, a lot of times, like, black women, they're so put down. And there's such a weight on black women that they don't understand what Hippolyta got to experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I said when I watched it, I cried, because, you know, visually you can see, like, y'all can do anything. And not know, all black women don't think that way. But the fact that they showed that to me was, like, amazing, because it meant a lot to see that, I guess, because I've grown up around black women, that situation was a possibility. Because it was like, you know, you can leave whenever you want to leave. Like, they kept... The robot kept taunting her. And then when she realized she could, then she did everything. She's presenting the life she wants to have. And I love that part because it was like she did it and she succeeded in every aspect that they gave her. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that going back into today's life, you see that in our women, but it's not respected a lot.
Right, right.
And that's the thing that I think that's why, why I cried about it, because it's like a lot of our lives were built around Black women even raising us or supporting us or, you know, dealing with us in different types of ways because they know our different quirks or whatever. Or they know our different struggles in life. Like, y'all have been so amazing. So to watch that and to see, you know, like, yo, your limitation is no, you have the limitations, and then bring it back to our real life, it's like, it just really made me feel like, you know, as a Black man, even as a Black kid, like, it made me appreciate Black women a little bit more.
Yeah, and you know what? And it's, you know, I'm glad that you said that, Soldev. I think in art, I think we are being portrayed like that a lot more. And I feel like on social media is portrayed the other way.
Yeah.
And being as though that we're so socials driven that we tend to keep seeing the negative, but not really seeing how much of, you know, the, you know, how the way that, you know, the average good black woman is being portrayed in a lot of art. And I think I see that we're being portrayed a lot more better and more complex in these in art now than being one way. So I just feel like that.
No, and you're absolutely right. Like, I feel the same way. It's like, it does, if this show made me, it let me see Black women, not that I didn't see it in my life.
Right, but you're seeing it portrayed in art, in the art form of it all.
Yeah, and it showcased that, you know. Mm-hmm. Everybody doesn't have a bad experience with their mothers. Right. They don't have a bad experience with Black women, like, and I feel like that's a narrative. And I hate that narrative because I never had that.
Right. Right.
So when I watched it, like when I said that, you know, I said I feel like she was a god to me in my own mind. Like, that's what it, I saw her as that.
I love that Afro Black robot lady. I was like, yeah, telling her to tap into like who are you? She like, wait a minute, like she trying to leave the island. What's your name? Yeah. She like, what do you mean? What do you want to do? And that's what she yelled at, like, I want to be dancing in Paris with Josephine Baker. And you know, and then, like, she discovered all these things. And then after that, she was like, and then when she had that heart to heart with her husband at the end, even though he was deceased, but she was still pouring in, you know, like she was being very candid and raw with him about, you know, feeling oppressed. She felt love, but, you know, like you
but being feeling, but feeling loved and oppressed is two different things.
Exactly. Like, right, I know you love me, but this is what you did to me. You hurt me. Like, this is how I was hurting all these times. I wanted to do these things for you. Yeah. So, and I think a part of it, like, if he would have let her go to, you know, up to the mountain in Massachusetts, up near Lovecraft Country, she probably would have felt like she probably would have been able to protect her husband, because when he came back and wasn't there,
right,
it shifted her relationship with Tick too. You know, yeah. And she knew, and then she Montrose came back, but her husband wasn't there. So,
but I think at that time, though, like, they were just trying to protect their wives, though.
Of course, and, it was the time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can see that part. I think, like, in 2022, like, it's very different.
Right, exactly. And I'm trying to think in that time too, and that's why I said that about Christina, because no matter what, whether she's the white woman or not, she still was, like, no matter what she can do, would do. That's why she went so hard for that book from the Freemans, is because she wanted to prove herself, because she couldn't be in those rooms. That's why she had to act like William.
Right.
Because she couldn't be in those rooms because she was a woman, no matter what, in that cult. So, but I'm going to stop it here. Thank you, Soldev, for
trying. Well, hold on. Wait, before you go.
Okay, sure.
I do want to bring up this part too, even with Letty's character. Because I was trying to figure out how to get on here before, but now I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
Even with Letty's character, like, I love that part too, because the way that she did stuff, like, when we were talking about the, when she was in that basement, it showed the power of the Black woman. You know what I'm saying? You know, everybody, people can have it all day. But the way she got the people out of that basement, it was different, because it was like, her spirit was on it, and then she went there. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And it made me feel like, yo, like,
this is my house. So
get
the fuck out of my house.
Yes.
I ain't scared of you. Take all your shit and get the hell out.
Yes, get out. But it also shows you the power of the Black woman. I'm gonna keep saying that part. And the reason why I said it is because you were saying something, I forgot what you said earlier, but you, like, you talk about, like, her, what she was doing, but, like, you saw the veins popping over her neck. Like, Journey really got into that role.
She was using every bit of
her
strength to channel them, get the out. And it was like, and the thing about it was her against spirits on spirits on spirits on spirits on spirits.
Yes.
And she was like, I'm going to defend my house, and the only way that you're going to get out is I'm going to tell you, I'm going to use my strength, and y'all going to get the fuck out, okay?
Yeah. And that's what I enjoy the most, because when she was like, Letty was like, get out, like, they had to go at this point. It was over.
There was all that boo and all that Scooby-Doo. Yeah, she was not working for her. She was like, look, this is my house. This is how I'm going to get you out. Yes. Ain't no Scooby-Doo boo.
I enjoy that. I think that's what I was saying earlier when you first started the video. I was like, you know, I watched the first episode. I was like, what am I watching? But the more that I watched, the more and more I understood.
It kept giving. And that's what I was saying. There was nothing on TV, and there still really isn't anything on TV like that now. Because we did not know. I'm like, oh, damn, this is a drama. Oh, damn, this is a sci-fi. Oh, damn, this is a crime show. Oh, damn, this is a love story. Oh, damn. You know what I mean? This channel in the history. Oh, damn. Like, it. And it was so crazy because HBO has given us Black Wall Street twice that year, because Watchmen, the first episode of Watchmen was Tulsa.
Okay.
And that was a perfect series, and that was only meant for one season. It was done by Damon Lindenhoff, I believe his name is, but he said he wrote in, you know, Watchmen is like a DC graphic novel, you know, graphic comic or whatever comic. And he added Tulsa in there because he read about, he said like 3 years prior to him writing the series, he just found out about Black Wall Street.
Wow.
So
I think just understanding that happened, because that episode, I cried on that one too, but watching that episode, like, that was mind blowing. To watch them in that house and the family is burning, they're trying to get a book, like, it was like, yo, this is a lot.
Right, you know what I mean?
who was it, Letty, or was it, what's that, the guy's name? Who was talking to the mom?
Wasn't it Tick?
It might have been Tick.
Or Montrose?
I can't remember who it was, because I haven't seen it in a long time. But him talking her into giving him that book, to me, was a lot.
Okay, yeah.
Because it was like, she didn't understand why he wanted the book. In the midst of y'all dying. And no, it was Letty.
Yeah, it was Letty. Yes.
It was Letty. Because I remember her getting the book from the mom. But the reason why she wanted it and the fact that she chose to keep the legacy was because of that. And the reason why, like, to me, like watching this, like, this is a female empowerment for me. I'm just going to tell you that all day long. It was female empowerment for me watching it. And I love watching all of it because the women on the show.
It was female power. And it was about
ten toes down, like they were doing it.
Because even with when it came to Montrose and Atticus, mm-hmm. You know, family legacy, you know, mm-hmm. and them trying to, you know, rehash their broken relationship because of family trauma, you know, because of family, right. you know, him passing on the way his father treated him, thinking that that's how he was supposed to treat his son. Right. And it made his son estranged and didn't make him feel, and then him being gay in 1950 Jim Crow era and trying to live his truth and try to right. be, it was just amazing. The complexity of it all. And,
also just to know that, like, that's the reality situation too, as well, because Black women have always been the forefront.
Mm-hmm. And even though they don't,
even though they don't get the credit for it, they've always been the forefront of that.
Yeah.
And I think that show that. And that's why, like, I really love watching it and seeing it, because it was like they were showing, like, I'm gonna go back to Hippolyta. Mm-hmm. When they put her in a space where she was able to go to God and become a God, whatever, that's my personal interpretation. But it showed me something that, you know, a lot of times that a lot of women don't get to understand their importance of how they work in our lives every day. That's why I love the episode so much, because yes, we know that, but it's not talked about.
Right, it's not talked about.
But watching it and you seeing it, especially into the capacity they showed it, it actually showed a lot, because it was like, you know, Black women have the capacity of a God. They are a God, period. They bring life into this earth. They are our nurturers. They do everything, like I've been saying, but it's not respected for everybody. So then they have to work harder, and they don't get which I don't think a lot of people want it, but they don't get the accolades because of what they've done. But our whole world is revolved around, especially if you are a Black person, is a revolving around our mothers, our aunts, our cousins, who are women.
Mm-hmm. And
watching that, it showed me that somebody understands this besides me, you know, and that's why I loved it.
Oh, definitely. I feel like every woman on here, Black, white, and Asian, all has strengths. They all have strengths.
Yeah.
They all had strengths, because don't forget, even though Christina, she got farther than her father and everybody else did to get that book. Mm-hmm. You know, she was smart. She was pretty much smarter. So than the men. So she was able to channel that to be savvy to get that book that way. But I'm just upset that Atticus died, and that was just his fate, even though that was his destiny, because he's so.
I think people had to die though, on the show.
I know, he did.
But I think that was it. I love the story about. I can't think which his name was. The dad and the father.
Montrose and Tick.
Yes. A little story, because that also comes back, and this is something I always say, y'all gonna beat me down later on, but I think that gay men and heterosexual women have a lot in common, and I think that gay men and heterosexual women have a lot in common, and I wish that we were able to connect that all the time, because a lot of times it's really that we struggle so much with being accepted by heterosexual black men. And I'm not saying they're all bad at all. What I'm saying is that's our struggle when it comes to like real life situations, when it comes to being to come together for stuff, because they feel like there's a totem pole. It's almost like being with white people and black people. It's like, well, they are higher than us, so we got to support them and do what they got to do, what they tell us to do. But the reality is that as black people, like, we should just be coming together as black people, period. It doesn't matter who you are, because we cannot move, we cannot survive in life if we do not be fit.
That part, that's what Deb said, yep.
That's the biggest part, and if we can never get to that point, we're going to stay in the same places on this life, and I hate that.
Mm-hmm. I agree with Red Label. I wish there was a season two. I really do. I wish there was. But you know what? It did go out on a high note. But I want to thank you so, Deb, for your perspectives, for chiming in, your love, your support. And I was supposed to do this last week, but I just be tired. And today, I was like, I had to do it today because today is 2 years ago, is literally 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night. We were tuning in, watching the first episode of Lovecraft Country, not knowing what the fuck was going on.
Watching.
But we knew we liked the shit. Yeah. But we didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Well, listen, I'm drop down, but I love this. And like I said, I would love for you to do episode by episode.
Yeah, so I'm going to do episode one. Yeah, we're going to do Sundown Town next week.
Okay.
Yep.
Because for me, like, I might have missed it, but I love that show.
Me too.
And I'm sad that I missed that part for everything, because for me, that show was everything for me. It made me see a different side of black people, period. Whether you are a man or a woman or a gay man or whatever, like, it showed me so much.
It was beautifully written. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
People on there. Everybody was beautiful. Everybody had it was during the time. It tapped in on some things. It tapped in on Tulsa. It tapped on Emmett Till.
Yeah.
It tapped on Sundown Town with the police. It tapped on white privilege.
Yeah.
It tapped on oppression. It tapped on love. It tapped on magic. It tapped on. It gave us.
Well, what it also tapped in on is that we can actually do it together.
Yep, and it tapped on facts.
And that was the main message to me that I watched, that we can do it together.
Yeah,
so,
and you know,
let's not fight. Let's not go against each other. Let's actually come together and fight the fight that we have to fight from the world together as black people. And that's what I got from the show. Because that's what they were doing. The fact that they showed that black women were gods, in my own opinion, I keep on saying that part, but it also showed, you know, that the father went through all this stuff about him being gay, and it showed, you know, that pastor guy going through his stuff he was going through. There was a lot that went into the show.
A lot. As
black people.
It was.
The reality is that we all fight a struggle.
Yes.
We all have a life that we live. And instead of us fighting against each other, because they all came together to fight together.
Right. And, you know, and they was fighting amongst each other, too, because, you know, that's the family hurt. You know what I mean? They had, you know, they had a lot of family hurt, too. And even the sisters were hurting, fight amongst each other. The father, the son. You know, we love Uncle George, but, you know, he was, you know, not knowing, you know, unbeknownst to him, how he was hurting and dimming and chipping away with, you know, the light of his wife and things like that. So it was a lot. It was a lot of things that we all can, somebody is a lot of takeaways and things that we can relate to.
What we should take from it was.
Yeah. And a lot of takeaways from it too. So
we need to come together as all type of black people.
Yes. So that's the best way to work together, even though they work together, even though it didn't help. I mean, it did.
Well, we watched them fight together.
We did. So
to me, that was the message, was out of whatever your separation is, let's come together as Black people and just fight the fight together.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, thanks so much.
I'm gonna drop down off your. I'm gonna drop down.
Okay.
But I love you so much. I love this entire life. You know, I love Proud Country, so I'm here for this. Oh, I said it a little bit, but I'm here for it though. I love
it. Yes.
So I'm dropping down, but I love you so much for doing this, and I'm out. I will talk to you.
All right. Yeah.
Back in. All right. Bye.
All right, you guys. I want to thank. I'm going to go ahead and say, but I do want to thank Red Label. And for trying to come up there, but even though he had technical difficulties, his audio issues, I don't know. Maybe he got it from, I don't know. But hopefully he can rectify that for next time he go live or whatever like that. It might be my streaming. I don't know. But I also want to thank So Debonair for, and I want to thank everybody that was in the chat that pretty much, you know, gave their input, showed their love for it, and actually listened to me. So I just want to thank you guys for that. It was 2 hours. I probably could have been on here longer, but, you know, I'm going to go ahead and call it a night and rest. And I will see you guys next week for my next live. We're going to do Sundown Town. We're going to talk about that. Not only we're going to do a breakdown of Sundown Town, we're going to talk about some, we're going to break down some towns that are now, that still are Sundown Towns, and that were Sundown Towns, and what are Sundown Town, and the breakdown of the characters that we are introduced to. And if you haven't seen it, I encourage you guys to see it. Again, this is All Things Pop. Well, make sure you like, subscribe, and hit the notification bell for it. You get notified when I go live. And you know what? Thank you for guys for being here. Refer me to somebody if you want to come in. And you know what? I want a community page. That's going to be the goal, okay? The goal is to work on the community page. So hopefully the next time I go live, I can get 5 new subscribers. So, all right, you guys, thank you. And I just want to say you guys have a good night. Until next time, bye-bye.